too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see.
Sucker, look at you. You out, sucker.
Golf Lady 137. No golf. But this is the podcast. Stitcher, Spotify casts, iTunes podcasts. I cannot not say that. It's on those platforms. You can follow me on Twitter. Twitter, the greatest platform for social contact in the midst of social distancing ever created. What would we do without Twitter? I went on Facebook. I don't have a Facebook account. I went on there blindly just to see what the community is talking about here locally and how they're butchering the actual news. It's amazing the difference in content on Facebook, which is basically chatter amongst your friends, where you can say anything you want and you're going to get 100% approval rate. Talk amongst your friends on Facebook or share ideas with the globe in a real-time comment section on Twitter and see how you fare. See if you get an audience. See if you get all the thumbs-ups and crying, laughy smileys on anything you say on Facebook. No. Twitter is going to save the world. It is saving the world. DraftKings is the title sponsor. It's a tough scene for everything, gambling platforms, fantasy platforms, sports, restaurants, everything. But DraftKings, of course, still has soccer, still has esports. Is that called LOL? It's a very dark hole that we're all in right now. When you are live betting table tennis at 7:30 a.m., actually, you realize how much we've depended on sports and gambling and fantasy for the last however many years. And then you have to reintroduce yourself to your kids because you're not looking at your phone constantly all weekend. Hey, kids, I'm Dad. Nice to meet you. But you can still sign up with DraftKings using promo code, obviously, Golflandia, because everything is going to come back with a bang. With a bang. And everything is going to be great. It's going to be great. I said that I was going to call this podcast Yarnlandia. Yarnlandia, as in, like, knitting. Because there is no other sports content in the world. But here's the reality. I've been discussing non-golf my entire podcast career. It was a complaint early on in your DM chat rooms about how Golflandia is not enough about golf. Not enough about golf. I like all these other podcasts and shows, which is great. But I've been prepping for this day, 137 episodes in, where all of a sudden, the sharing of golf information will no longer be relevant. And here we are. So in terms of having to pivot on content and say, okay, how am I going to put a podcast together? What am I worried about? Well, I spend, what, an hour on talking about bats? Once. Yeah, you may not have enjoyed it. But I'm here now. And Yarnlandia, the more I think about it, the more I think about it, what skill would I like to have more than knowing how to make shit in a global pandemic? What, I'm a content creator? I'm a marketer? What use is that going to have in the real world at this point for anyone creating content? None. I want to know how to do things. I ranked the utility of occupations in a global pandemic. 1, healthcare provider. 2, military. 3, tradesperson, plumber, electrician, framer, people who can build things. Way down the list. What'd I say? Tanning specialist, ostrich cuddler, real job, and DFS player / content creator. If you believed your shit prior to this global pandemic that you actually provided value to the world, and I included myself, then this is a major reality check. But you think about Yarnlandia, yeah, it was a joke. But what is the, when, if you have kids, what was the best gift you got when you had babies? Was it the 80-pack of diapers? Was it the stroller? What do you still have from all those gifts? The knit blankets. You use them forever. So yeah, maybe I should learn how to do that, and maybe we should talk about yarn every week. But this global pandemic, it is, I don't know. I mean, we've only just scratched the surface of how this is going to impact everything. Obviously, sports. Golf is gone for a while. All major sports. Restaurants are going to get destroyed, sadly, especially these smaller independent restaurants. How are they going to survive? Now, I think that there will be a trend down eventually, and everything's just going to, the economy, sports, life will just come back with an absolute explosion. My hope is, too, that the number of cases of coronavirus are actually, people who've had it or have it are a lot higher than what's being reported. That's my guess. I can't believe there's only 4,000 people in this country with it when I know 1% of them by name. The Birdman, Matt Fry, from early episodes, talking about early episodes. He's got it. He's got to get testing done. Hopefully the mortality rate goes down, like it did with H1N1. But this feels like post 9/11 to me, that complete fear of the unknown. It's unnerving somewhat, especially now, because 9/11, we didn't have children. We were just kids ourselves. But now you have children and you're really fearful for what's going to happen for them. But it teaches us, as many people I can tell on Twitter who probably would not have taken this stance 6-12 months ago, it teaches us that we're all connected. And the rhetoric of, oh, what does it matter what someone else goes and chooses to do with their life? If they want to go to a restaurant, let them go eat or have fun or go to an event. That sort of woke centrist, anarchist, independent thought that whatever you do does not impact me and vice versa, it impacts all of us. What I do, what my behavior is at this point in a global pandemic affects everyone. We all are so interconnected economically, socially, and medically. And the point is, obviously, is not the fact that if I get coronavirus, which I think it already ran through this office. I had an employee coughing here for 2 weeks, negative flu, got it from his father, who flew back from LA, also in quarantine. My father-in-law at the same point came down with a mystery illness. My daughter did too. Negative flu, bad cough, high fever, instant. This was about mid-February in Kentucky, right when a very public case, Matthew Broderick's sister, got it in Louisville, strangely. So my thought is that I can't believe there's only 40 people in Kentucky with it. I think it ran through here, has been running through here for a while. And my hope is that most of us have already been exposed to it. The mortality rate is lower and that we're going to get beyond it. But we need to flatten the curve, as everyone knows, in order to not overextend what our hospital and healthcare system can handle. Because what happens if your kid gets in an accident or people get in a car accident and there's no emergency room availability or no doctors? So my decisions about me going up being selfish and spreading the disease around impacts you and impacts this country, whether or we live in proximity or not. And that's the difference. So I think that everyone, for the most part, is taking that seriously and, you know, taking responsibility for each other in the community, which is something we need. Otherwise, we're pretty selfish until we get scared. It happened after 9/11. People really thought about how fragile we really are. And this country came together and pitched in like I've never seen before. And I feel that happening now. And that's what largely the government is for. We're very selfish creatures. I mean, humans by nature are selfish. It's kind of a forced selflessness. That if we didn't have someone forcing us to think about other people, we'd have a real problem. Vaccines are being developed. Someone got the first test today. Who is going to do that absent a community of people working together? It won't happen. So that's that. But in terms of this podcast, I don't know. I mean, I think that I'd like to do is line up interviews week to week. I don't certainly want to end it, even in the absence of golf, but I think that the architecture of this show purposefully is to be more broad in the event that, you know, golf information is not available to discuss. So I'm going to take on the more broad topics as I have been, and hopefully people will listen. I don't consider myself an expert on anything generally, but I do know that sometimes podcasts, you get familiarized and comfortable with a weekly show and a voice. I do it with other shows, and I don't want to cut that out. Derek Knox said, when I asked for questions, the real Noxie, would love to see a Lifelandia podcast where you discuss real estate and your first big project. Financial advice, things you've learned that may help others. You're in a spot in life I'm trying to get to with a home, kids, etc. That's why the interest, my two cents. Thanks, Derek. I remember coming down here when I was 23 to the United States from Canada. Early 20s, still didn't know anything about anything. This was pre-information. I mean, the internet was blooming, but it still wasn't a place where you consume content and create relationships in real time as you do now. We are so much more aware of issues on a real-time basis and understanding people and connecting, speaking of connecting, because of platforms like Twitter, than we ever were. The amount of ignorance that we had 20, 30, 40 years ago is astounding. Whatever you believed really didn't get checked that much. Whatever your local newspaper or TV news broadcast that you consumed was, that shaped your opinion. And so I came down here not knowing a lot of stuff, had no money, I had no foundation, none. A complete gamble. But I just knew that, as ambitious as I was, without having any platform or any support or structure or money, that if I worked hard enough and I created relationships and didn't sabotage them, that I may have a chance at being successful at something. At least that's what I presumed when I was that age. It was crazy to look back and think that I had the nerve to do it. But that's really been what's shepherded me through my life. It's a lot of ambition, understanding that I didn't have the connections, the access, the money, the blue-bloodedness that a lot of young people did. And so I had to work. And whatever I wanted to achieve, I had to fucking work hard nonstop, to the point where we sacrificed, my wife and I and family, vacations. We don't vacation, hardly. Trips. I've never been overseas in my life. Honeymoon, didn't have one. Wedding, hardly. Instead, we just achieved. Like at 26, Derek talked about real estate. I built our first house. I didn't know anything about building a house. I just thought it's something I'd like to try to do and apply my brain to it and take a amount of risk, and hopefully we persevere. We did. Built two more subsequently, including the one we're living in now. And the same with, you know, the work that I've done, whether it be the company we sold previous to Block Marketing or what we've got now, it did just happen. And I think some people, that's the one frustrating thing, is that a lot of people just think it's instantaneous, and they think if they can just jump into a career and then call themselves a business person or a marketer or, you know, a performer or content creator, which was, you know, probably things I did early on in this industry when I started this podcast in 2017. I didn't give a lot of respect, perhaps, to the amount of work it takes to write, to perform, to connect with an audience, and just assume that I could just do it. But a lot of this stuff just comes with a tremendous amount of work. And I've not made the best decisions in my life at all, especially the points where I drank. And that's for another podcast. But I know I've worked my ass off nonstop. And I've just tried to do the best I could with the career I've got. And, you know, ultimately then take a swing at this golf industry and having a platform here. But for those people, if the question, Derek, is how do you get to a point where I am in life? I don't know, outside of all of it, the money side, any sort of notoriety side, really is meaningless, especially so in a time like this, in a global pandemic, when everything's off the table. I mean, we are all brought to center in crisis times like this. the things that are of most value, as I've learned, and there were periods in my life, especially with drinking again, and I suffered from severe PTSD in my 20s, anxiety. I medicated it with alcohol. I quit many times. The worst decisions I've ever made in my life are drinking. I'm a maniac when I do it. I could only imagine where I could have been without it, but it is what it is. I know a lot of people can drink. I am not one of them. I'm not success. I'm very good at it. I'll put it that way. It's never a point of me saying, oh, I'm just going to have one. If I have one, I might as well have 101. I drink for punishment. And I was actually talking to Eric Anders Lang about that. He, you know, we text now about this subject because he put out that he's 20 years sober. And the stories are all the same. But it wrecked at least my productivity, my good decision-making, my clarity, my relationships with people, especially my family. It made me a menace. And so, you know, there came a point where you had to quit permanently. And I don't miss it at all. But through all of that, and there are a number of reasons that I did drink. And there was a fire and a flame that I had to understand why I'm extinguishing it all the time. It's not as simple as you just enjoy booze. There was a guy I knew here in Lexington. One person on Twitter reached out to me in a DM. The same person who told me about or who asked me about how I was able to quit. He said, did you hear about so-and-so in Lexington? I said, no, what's up with him? A guy I knew casually, but knew enough. Died. 45 years old, died. Connected to drinking. And so what I realized was it's very permanent for me now, and I have no need to go back in the past. But you realize what are the things that drove you to extinguish that flame. And you have to not just think of it as I just like to drink for entertainment and maybe I drink too much. There is a reason for it. And I learned the reason. And I started reconciling those reasons in my head, and it made the disconnect with booze easier. And it made me a better person, made me more productive, maybe less reactive. And you'll see in moments in the podcast and on Twitter where you know it's that version of Matt. And he is an ugly, ugly person. But in this whole process, I don't think I've answered this question yet, Derek. But the success, especially in this time, is do you have any regrets? And I think that's one big thing I was chasing, to have no regrets. Did I at least give it a try to do X, Y, and Z in my life? Do you want to try building a house? Do you want to try starting a company? Do you want to try starting a platform in golf, a media enterprise? All these things. I have not a lot of regrets at this point. I have done everything. I have tried everything I wanted to try. Sure, there is more room and more things that I am working on and hopefully will get to. But the biggest value is, do you have a family or people around you who care about you? And do you have your health? And if you have those two things, you are infinitely blessed. Nothing else matters. All the attention you get on Twitter or on your media platform or in business, or the clients that think you're great, or the awards in your shelf. It matters nothing in a time like this. Nothing, at least to me. Who's going to be by your bedside when you're dying? Who's going to draw you a picture in the morning like I got from your daughter, telling me the 5 to 100 way things that she loves about you? That's what matters. And so if you want to get to a point where I am in life, don't look at it from the financial or success side, because none of that is really stimulating or none of that is really comfortable, especially now. What matters is you have a family to go home to, they're all rallying together, and you know they're going to be there for each other, and you're sober. That's a big thing. And so, there you go. And from a work standpoint, if you aren't born with it, if you haven't inherited it or you haven't won it, talking about money, success, and fame, I mean, there are a lot of people who have access to things that you'd only dream of just by nature of birth. And while that is somewhat, you know, you can get envious of that, at the same time, I've seen a lot of those people not be as happy as I am. Because work productivity and accomplishing things on your own without any help and just doing it with your own brain, taking an inordinate amount of risk and applying the knowledge you've gained, or applying the knowledge you continue to gain by being curious, gives you a very high level of satisfaction. And then especially when you can connect that thing with your family and reward and enrich them too. And that's life. Or your community. Or share it with people on Twitter. That's success. I wouldn't even dream of having anything just given to you in life. Wake up, you're born, you have $100 million. Now, I take that back. I probably would want that, but I am equally as satisfied and happy by doing it the way that I've done it, with a tremendous amount of mistakes along the way, of my own making. Stupid, dumbass decision-making that hopefully has brought me to the place I am today so I can learn from them. And largely all of that attributable to alcohol, drinking, and being a complete loser, which I have been. And I see a lot of people out there writing content, performing, who I know are probably 5 or 10 years behind me and where I was at that point. And sometimes I just want to sit down and talk to them and say, listen, you know, you don't need it. You can be better. It's hurting your performance. But I'm a loner by trade. I like to be curious about issues. I like to listen. I like to think. I like to read. I like to learn. I like to learn about other people's point of views. I just consume it. I like to talk about issues. I like to sort through them. I like to debate them. That information gives me a lot of comfort, and it helps me do things like this. But at the end of the day, forecast your life out, Derek. Here's what I have learned. That none of it, I would trade every one single piece of that success, or what people think of as success, for what I've got in terms of a family who, in times like these, is there for you. And a lot of people don't have that. And, you know, that's... You have a home and kids, Derek? That's what you focus on. The other stuff will come. And if it doesn't, it's not going to be the end of the world. That's that. Now, is it going to stop me from being ambitious? No, especially when people tell me, oh, I can't do it, or you're not good enough, or I see people in the industry I want to be in get notoriety or success that I feel is not deserving. It motivates me. I want to, I want to stomp on everyone's skull. It's part of not having a lot of social relationships or friends. I'm very competitive. I want to be the best at what I do. Yeah. But it's not because that is at the end of the day, that means everything to me. I know I can lose it in a heartbeat. Everyone could lose everything in a heartbeat right now. But that sense of application of knowledge, of work and time, does not come without that. I'm not gifted anything. That amount of work, time, investment, sacrifice by me and my family and everyone involved in this venture, that's a reward for it, that productivity. So find yourself. Here's the key, and I'm not the expert in this. I'm not Tony Robbins. I'm just, right now, I am what? Minute 31 into just talking. And so I hate even listening to myself talk about this stuff because I think I'm some authority on it. But maybe I can help you, help one person in life. My thing is, if you're not gifted with it, born with it, inherit it, win it, work really hard. Focus on a subject or something that can make you different from other people and work really, really hard at it. Get ahead of the pack because you know what? There's a million other people with the same idea. You have to get really lucky. You have to meet the right people in life. That's another big part of it. But you also have to work. But never lose focus of the people that matter inside the four walls of your house, especially in a time like this where it's right in your face about how you could lose everything tomorrow. Because that investment of time and energy into your own, sometimes it's my own ego at times, and I have to check that myself, I have to check that at my house, always Matt-centered, especially when I was drinking. Just understand that you're going to get old one day, and who's going to be around you when you're taking your last breaths? And never, ever, ever lose focus of that. Ever. You can have your fun. You can try to achieve things. You know, you can work on your own ego. But never lose sight of that. And there are very many moments in my life that I've lost sight of that. And it will not happen again. That I know. And that's life, at least for me. The only thing you leave in this earth when you die is your legacy to the people closest to you. And that even fizzles out after generation after generation. Maybe not in this world because everything's documented. More so. But who was the president, CEO of GE in 1965? One of the biggest companies in the United States, in the world. He was a big deal in 1965, but who was it? No one knows. I don't know. But your grandkids will tell you who your grandfather was. Your kids, if you did it right, will always remember what a good parent or father you were. And I know that because I got a letter from my daughter this morning. And that's how life works. That's the only legacy you leave on. So quit chasing the other stuff if it distracts from that. If it's complimentary and it's a team effort, great. Would I like $100 million? Yes. I regret saying that. Would I like to have been born to $100 million and just floated on a raft in the Pacific Ocean? Probably. Probably. We'll try to line up some interviews. I do like doing interviews a lot. Now that probably is the time to do it. We'll try to make it good. Until that point, social distance yourself. Let's save the planet. Goodbye.